Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We approach 4 o'clock here on The Fan. What a freaking day. We continue this amazing run of New York sports. The New York Knicks took care of business in Game 1. The Rangers have taken care of business in their Game 1 and Game 2 last night in that incredible double overtime effort. The Knicks are back in action tonight. The New York Yankees are hosting their archest of rivals, the Houston Astros, and laid the smack it down on their candy asses, as The Rock would say, last night at Yankee Stadium. And now the Mets are not going to play today. And their game just got rained out. They waited in St. Louis for like 3 hours. I think there were tornadoes in the area. There was all sorts of crazy weather. Yeah.
So it was rain and tornadoes?
So I was glued to this because obviously the game was going to start at 1:15. We're not on the air till 2 o'clock. So I was like, all right, I'll get the first 2-3 innings in.
Yeah.
And they put the tarp on the field. Actually, they didn't put the tarp on the field, but they announced we're going to delay the start time, and there was no rain.
Oh, so.
But there was a bad forecast.
So it definitely was a tornado type thing.
There was a tornado warning. I ended up looking on my weather app. They then put the tarp on the field. It starts raining, I guess. But I'm reading on the weather app, there's a tornado warning. And I'm thinking to myself, are they going to play this freaking game? Now, I understand the Mets don't go back to St. Louis, so there's that pressure. And the Cardinals play tomorrow, so they can't play tomorrow, mm-hmm. even though the Mets have an off day. So I'm thinking to myself, all right, selfishly, maybe they'll wait for 6 hours. We'll get to be on SNY. By the way, hello, SNY. I'll go home. I get to DVR the game without the game occurring while we're on mm-hmm. the air. And selfishly, Evan will be happy. And I'm like, they're really going to do that to St. Louis Cardinal fans? Are they going to make them wait for 6 hours?
I look to see. So they're playing the Brewers tomorrow.
The Cardinals are, yes.
But it's late. So
what would you want them to do? Play an early game in St. Louis and then go play the Brewers?
No. But they could have played this game late.
Yeah, they could have waited all night. I'm sure the Mets want to enjoy their off day tomorrow. But also, it's just not fair to the fans. So here's what they've done. And I know you're going to take offense to what I'm about to say, but it's going to be tough for you to argue. What they have done proves that baseball players are indeed tougher than football players.
What?
Yeah. Stop. Yeah, you want to hear it?
Let's hear it.
Okay.
Couldn't 30 of them go play football? Like Austin Rivers said, 30 basketball players could.
I just don't know if Tiki could handle this. Prime Tiki Barber, Hall of Fame player. I don't think you can handle what I'm about to read to you.
All right, let's hear it.
So they have stuck this Met Cardinal game on August 5th. All right, August 5th, 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Now you may say, okay, I'm not really thinking about August. Mm-hmm.
Three months from now.
But the Mets will be in Anaheim on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They will go from Anaheim to St. Louis, play that one game in St. Louis, then fly to Denver to play the Rockies. And then when they're done playing the Rockies, they then go to Seattle. Seattle to play the Mariners before they end their road trip.
Oh, so it's kind of all on the West Coast. Just take your off day and you play a game in St. Louis.
Tiki, you're going from Anaheim to Colorado, to St. Louis, to Seattle. You can't say that's all on the West Coast.
I mean, it's all west of the Mississippi.
Dude, that is... Ish. Could you handle that?
That's a lot. It's funny because this morning, or this afternoon when I got here, I was looking at the baseball schedule, and you just... Like, you know it's every day.
Right.
You, it's the cliche of baseball. It's every day. It's summer. You just know it. It's here. Hey, turn it on. It's baseball. But I like it's literally every day.
And think about that.
That's
kind of travel.
Grind. It is a grind to have to do something every single day.
You are admitting.
Including the weekends. And maybe you get a day off or two here. And there.
And think about it. You guys grind every day in practice, but you get to go home. Mm-hmm. You do it in New Jersey. Like, okay, fine. Sure, there's some tackling and whatever.
Yeah, but it's, I mean.
This is tougher.
You get halfway through the season, and as of late, meaning last 10 years or so, maybe not even a third of the way through the season. And you're basically walking around in underwear, meaning your shorts. You're not in pads. Nobody's in pads
anymore. That's true.
And so these work days are just learn days. They're not grinding days.
So you agree baseball is tougher than football? Is that what you're telling me?
The physicality, you can't.
I understand.
I can't.
I mean, take you play 17. You play 17 times.
I can't give you
catch
the physicality.
The freaking ball,
I can't give you the physicality.
It's 17 times, dude. These guys play 160 times, and they're flying from Anaheim to St. Louis.
It's the import of every single day.
Yeah.
Like every game, every day matters. That's the hard thing.
Yeah.
And you get a bye week. Like, come on.
Yeah, it's kind of soft.
A little soft, dude.
You play 17 games. You played 16.
His
not the
ass. Extra S's in that one.
I'm sort of playing with it. But that's the Met update. They're off today. They're off tomorrow. They're back at home Friday night against the Braves. Christian Scott's going to start. So there you go with the Mets. Now let's get to Mitchell Robinson. So when this news came out, and I got it late into the night because I'm off the grid watching the Rangers and the Mets on DVR, my first reaction was as a human disappointment for Mitchell Robinson. Mitchell Robinson, A, is just like an awesome dude. Mm-hmm. And then B, he's always hurt, and that's not his fault necessarily. And so Mitch, who did not play in 2021, think about that. During that first postseason run of the Tom Thibodeau era, in fact, there was nobody on that team that's playing today. Think about that.
Jeez.
Julius Randle, not healthy, not playing. And Mitch did not play in that series because he was hurt.
Right, you forget that almost.
It's incredible. There's nobody left. Eric Rose, Alfred Payton, Julius Randle. It's ridiculous. So number one, I felt bad for Mitchell Robinson. And number two, big picture, this is damaging. It's damaging in a potential Eastern Conference Finals against Boston, and it's damaging in an NBA Finals against who knows, maybe Oklahoma City, whatever. But in the short term, this doesn't kill him.
No.
It just doesn't, just based on the matchup. Like,
yeah.
It does not kill them in this Indiana series, and you could argue they may be better off with Precious Achiuwa gobbling up his minutes anyway.
Well, because of the athleticism and the pace, because we know what Indiana wants to do versus what the 76ers are going to do. And it's interesting because when you sent this, because I didn't see it, it was in the text chain that we have.
I did not send it. Someone else did. Adam Eaton Blank sent it.
Right. That was in
just for the record.
Right. But anyways, first thing I wrote, thanks, Joel.
So you do blame Joel.
Of course you blame Joel. Now, he has a stress fracture, so that's likely, or stress reaction. Well, I forgot how they framed it, but it's a stress issue. It's not an acute fracture or something of that nature. But it likely was exacerbated by Joel Embiid in some capacity. At least I think so.
Yeah, so I look at it this way. What does Mitchell Robinson think? That's what's really, really important here. And so Mitchell Robinson on social media, and it's odd because he has a social media account that's private, so only certain people can see it. Mm. So some reporters are able to see it. They saw it, and then they told us, which kind of defeats the purpose of his social media account being private.
Or letting reporters in on your private social media.
That's true. That's on Mitch. Why are you letting Fred Katz on your private social media account? And Mitchell gave you a couple of emotions. Number one was, I'm going to get my revenge. Now, that could mean a lot of things. If he believes that this injury was
exacerbated. Yes.
If this injury was exacerbated or caused by Joel Embiid, then the New York Knicks next season have no choice but to respond. Mm-hmm. They have no choice. And I understand this isn't hockey where you're just going to, all right, everybody's right. Fighting.
Now we're making an assumption because...
I'm making an assumption that Mitchell Robinson's I will get my revenge was directed at Joel Embiid. If it was directed at just the basketball gods, obviously it's a different story.
No, if it was at the basketball gods, you would just say, I'll be back.
Right.
Right? He'd Terminator it, right? But this is not that.
No.
It sounds like he's saying something specific without saying anything specific.
But even if he's not, like, it's one of those weird things. How do you prove that Joel Embiid's dirty play, and it was a dirty play. We all agree with that. How do you prove that caused or exacerbated this injury? There's no way to prove it.
Yeah.
So I trust the athlete. And if the athlete, here's the way I look at it. If you believe a linebacker purposely tried to injure you, and even your teammates are like, I don't really think he did, but you believe it, they got no other choice.
Yes, then you got to go get revenge.
You got to get your revenge.
Whatever that means.
The same thing with the Jeff McNeil, Rhys Hoskins things from earlier this season. If you if Jeff McNeil believed it was a dirty slide, and you're Carlos Mendoza, and you're the New York Mets, you have no choice. You have to defend your player.
Peg him.
If Mitchell, and it's easy in baseball, peg the guy. In football, what is it? Take a late cheap shot at him?
Yeah, but it's
what does that even do?
Nothing. It doesn't do anything.
But in the Knicks case, and this is for next year, I totally understand that. But and Mitch has to still be on the team. Who knows? There's going to be an offseason. God knows what's going to happen. But assuming that's the case, they got no other choice. If that's how Mitchell Robinson believes. Now, what do I believe on this? I would believe that grabbing one's ankle can't help. I would say that. Like, I can't prove that he injured him or exacerbated. This freaking word. Exacerbated it.
Furthered.
It's such a good word, though.
It is.
Even if I can't say it. I can't prove it, but clearly, when you're grabbing a guy's ankle, it doesn't help.
Well, when you're grabbing a 7-footer or 6-foot, whatever he is, 10, guy's ankle and twisting it, and it's not... They're not thick, muscular ankles. They're skinny ankles. Sometimes it creates a reaction.
Yeah.
And it might not be immediate, or you might just think it's just a sprain. But ultimately, it comes out to be a stress reaction, and you're done for the rest of the playoffs.
And it stinks for him, man.
Of course it does.
And that's why it's
now, his role was limited. Like let's not elevate him to being a key cog to what they were trying to do. He doesn't score. He's really just a defensive replacement at times for Ihart when Ihart gets into foul trouble. But he's important. If they play a team that has a bunch of bigs, just like the 76ers, they're going to be really shorthanded.
Well, that's what I think they're shorthanded now. It's just that it can get, I'm going to use exacerbated again. Yeah. It can get exacerbated if, let's say, Ihart gets in a foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, I think the logical replacement is, okay, Precious Achiuwa. We saw that when Mitch was initially hurt after the Joel Embiid grab and subsequent injury. Like, Achiuwa is very different than Mitchell Robinson, and in a lot of ways makes him a little bit better. He's more athletic.
Mm-hmm.
He gives you a little bit more offensive punch. I think you feel better about him guarding 1-5 than you do Mitch. Like, there are positives to Achiuwa being on the floor. Now, the truth is, Tom Thibodeau could have done it himself. I know Boomer in the Morning has always screamed about Precious Achiuwa. He loves Precious Achiuwa. He wants more Precious Achiuwa. Tom Thibodeau could have used more Precious Achiuwa even when Mitchell Robinson has been back. He hasn't. Now he's being forced to use more of them, and what could turn out to be the case, and I think it will, is that it'll actually benefit the Knicks. So I do think from that standpoint it can benefit them, but where the negative comes in is, what if Ihart's in foul trouble? What if Achiuwa's in foul trouble? Like, you need bodies.
Now you go real small. You got to be small then.
Yeah, because you're not going to Jericho Sims. You're going to go small.
You got to real small, and it's OG probably playing center.
Basically Josh Hart, who could play anywhere on the floor. I mean, you could potentially be seeing on the floor. We've seen this for short periods at a time. You could potentially be seeing Jalen, Deuce, Dante, OG, and Hart. Now, you may see that.
And that's really small.
It's very small.
Who's tallest there?
Miles Turner is going to give you some issues.
6'6"?
Yeah, OG would be the tallest guy on the floor, yeah.
Yeah.
Josh Hart plays taller, but he's not. Like, you look at his height, and it's incredible. So it's a double-edged sword. Yeah, this may force Tom Thibodeau to do something that may be better in the short term of this series. The problem is, you never know when you're going to be shorthanded because of foul trouble. And then B, there is still a longer vision here. I mean, the vision is go beat the Indiana Pacers, and then you know what's next. And not having Mitchell Robinson is a big negative. So it sucks. But you know what? This is the story of the New York Knicks.
Yeah, they find a way regardless.
They lose guys, and they overcome it. That's what they've done.
Well, I mean, early in the season, we're talking Precious now. I thought he was just a thrown-in bad part of the trade. And then eventually, because he had to play, especially when Ihart got hurt, he actually was really good, right? He did what he needed to do, gave him the minutes. Sometimes he was effective offensively, but he really was, he was important. And he played a role that I think he has to play now. And so for him, I'm kind of excited. Like, just it's just an opportunity.
No doubt.
All you, as an athlete, all you can ask, just give me an opportunity. Yeah. Now, what you do with it, that's going to determine how we view you.
And he fits in with a lot of other guys who have gotten better once they got here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Precious Achiuwa in Toronto, different than Precious Achiuwa with the Knicks. Just
right.
Like we've seen the difference in Dante DiVincenzo, the difference in Josh Hart, mm-hmm. the difference in almost everybody that's come over here. So it sucks. That's the bottom line of an injury like this. Is it just stinks, especially for a guy who's the longest tenured New York Knick. We forget that sometimes. Think about this roster. Think about when guys came over here.
Yeah.
Mitchell Robinson has been here longer than anybody else. And so it just stinks that he's not going to be out there. Now, does it impact my view on this game tonight? Not really. Look, it comes down to the same damn things. Playing at Indiana's pace is not a good thing.
No.
Playing at their breakneck pace, not a positive. It comes down to, can you destroy them on the offensive glass? They did in the first half. First half of game one, they got beaten on the offensive glass. And the guy, the key cog in the second half when the Knicks fought back on the glass was Josh Hart.
Yeah.
It wasn't even Mitchell Robinson or I.Hart. It was Josh Hart.
I mean, it's always been Josh Hart. It's almost, we kind of just assume that the bigs are going to be the ones that lead the charge here on the rebounding, offensive and defense. But it's always Josh Hart.
Mm.
I mean, is he leading the playoff, the postseason in rebounding?
Well, for the Knicks,
I know he's leading the Knicks, but I'm talking all of the postseason.
What is he averaging right now so far throughout the postseason?
He's got to be 14 or so. Cause, I mean, I'm serious, because there was a couple of games where he had 16 against the 76ers.
Dude,
a couple more that were double digits as well. He's got to be up there.
He has elevated his game more than almost anybody I've ever seen from who they are in the regular season to what they've been over a sample size of 7 games. Because not only is he rebounding like he's a 7-footer when he's 6'4", he's hitting 40% from three. Mm. Josh Hart! And I remember at the beginning of the Philly series saying, he's the X factor. He's the key to the series. And I thought that, don't get me wrong, because I thought, boy, Josh Hart having confidence in his shot, so different than when you have that tentative Josh Hart. Never in my mind. Never. This is where I'd be brutally honest with you. When I built up the importance of Josh Hart, did I think it was even remotely possible that this guy would be averaging what he's averaging, hitting threes at the clip he's hitting, and oh, by the way, playing 48 minutes a night. Like, I wouldn't have said any of that.
12 and a half. He's fourth in the NBA playoffs.
12 and a half rebounds.
12 and a half rebounds behind Anthony Davis, who's no longer playing. So he's still in Jokic and Jared Allen.
And you know what's not fair about that?
Hmm.
Unlike, it's actually unfair, Josh Hart plays 48 minutes.
This
guy's playing like 33 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I think that's more impressive than anything. What's most impressive about Josh Hart is not even just the statistical numbers. It's the fact that Tom Thibodeau's asking him to play 48 minutes, and he's not like falling apart in the fourth quarter of games the way Joel Embiid did. Remember Joel Embiid in that first round? Like, he would put up some monster moments early in games and then come fourth quarter time. And you could argue it's just because he's a choke artist. Or you could argue that he was just tired. Joel got tired. Josh Hart is like, he reminds me of that one time I took that pill. That one time. I did it one time with my now wife.
Uh-huh.
I took that pill.
The anaconda pill?
The anaconda. Remember the anaconda? And I was like, this isn't even me. Like, this isn't even human. And I had an energy that I had never had before. That's like Josh Hart right now.
Yeah, the Knicks have either cloned him or he is the most athletic guy in the history of the NBA as far as endurance. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, the guy basically never gets 48, played, what, 53 in one of the games against the Sixers? Never even gets tired. And if you're going to crush him for hitting missing a free throw late in the game, dude's playing 50 minutes.
Right.
Anybody would miss in that spot.
He's a guard. I'm looking at these statistics, the full stats now. He's the only guard in the top 14.
He's not a guard.
he's
listed as that. He's not a guard.
What is he?
I don't know. He's
small,
a hybrid.
Small forward.
He's everything. But you know what, Lugie? You just said something.
Playoff shooting guard.
You just said something, and I want you to own this now.
Yeah.
And I respect what you said, Tiki. Do you hear what he said? What
did he say?
He said, people get on Josh Hart for missing a free throw late. Like, what do you want from this guy? Does that mean? And by the way, if this is the case, I totally respect that. There are certain athletes who get to this pantheon for you. Has he reached a point where no matter what he does in this series, you won't criticize him because he's already given you so much?
Mm. Josh Hart is already on my top 5 favorite Knicks of all time list.
Wow.
Because of the style he plays, because of his personality, because of how things changed when he got here. So, yeah, I'm not going to criticize him.
So, like,
now, Evan may find a tweet from like 3 years ago where I criticized him to rub in my face.
I'm not going
to
do that. You know why? You probably never even tweeted about it. When they traded for him from Portland, it was like, whatever. No, but what I mean is, like, let's say tonight the Knicks lose a brutal game. And let's say Josh has three big turnovers in the final 2 minutes and misses a couple of free throws. Something bad.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not predicting it. I'm just giving you a possibility. Are you telling me, are you making a pledge to the Knick fans who follow you and trust you that he has already done so much that you would say, hey, you know what? Hey, that's
yeah.
all right.
Bro, this guy leaves it all on the court. Nobody in the league plays every single minute of every single game. He's done it all season long. He's basically spilled his guts out for us. So I will never criticize him because the effort, the passion, the ability, to me, he's Gucci. He's Teflon. He's not getting criticized.
Wow. I'm wondering like if he missed that shot in Philly in game 6.
We would have won game 7 either way.
See, that's the confidence.
That's right. I can't even hypothetical it because he's probably right.
There's just certain guys, Teek, you know this. There's just certain guys that are just like, to me, like royalty. You're just not going to criticize him. And I think Josh is already in that thing because every single minute of every single game. I mean, he's unbelievable.
No, it's incredible. And, you know, I've said this to people who are concerned about the minutes because I get it, man. Like, this isn't normal. I said to you the other day that I never thought the Nets were going to win the title in that Milwaukee series, even if Durant's foot was just a tiny bit smaller, because I didn't think it was feasible that he could play 48 minutes every night, which he was doing. And I said, no way. Like, conference finals, he'll just run out of gas. Like, that was my assumption. Real opinion then, real opinion now. And I still think that about most humans, but I also know that Josh Hart playing 48 minutes gives the Knicks the best chance to win.
Yeah, and it doesn't
And so you got to die that way.
And also doesn't seem like it's bothering
him. So far, it's not.
Yeah, I don't think it's a minutes things with the Knicks as far as running out of gas. I think it's just bodies. Like, they may run... If they get, like...
Yeah, it's injuries. It's not fatigue. It's injuries.
It's attrition. They're just running out of guys in the locker room that can play. So you're going to be basically at a six-man rotation. So they're going to have to clone Ihart, or they're going to just have to, you know, play Precious till the tires fall off.
Yeah, look, it's a seven-man rotation. I think the key is, does Deuce bounce back? He's had a couple of bad games.
He's been awful.
And Tom Thibodeau has no patience. That's the other thing. Yeah. Like, Tom Thibodeau is not going to sit there and wait and say, all right, Deuce, yeah, that was a bad possession. Yeah, we're -5 in the last few minutes. Yeah, your defense wasn't great there, but I'm going to keep you out there. Tom Thibodeau right now, and I get it, man. He's trying to win games. He's like, I'm not waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not waiting for this. Now, Achiuwa, assuming it's not Jericho Sims, I don't think it's going to be. Jericho Sims hasn't even played in the postseason. I doubt it.
When was the last time he played, even going back into the regular season?
Oh, I'll tell you, I have the answer. Against the Nets.
Huh.
Second to last game of the season.
Yeah.
I remember this crap.
Yeah.
For obvious
game
reasons.
Didn't matter, but
yeah. Mattered for some people.
Where you could have used Sims was last series to eat some fouls with Embiid.
Yeah.
That's a spot, or punch him in the face. One of those. But now in this series, where the bigs on Indiana don't love to go inside as much as an Embiid does, especially when he's healthy, to me, Sims doesn't play. And Precious has been awesome every single time he's played this year.
Yeah.
So I have full confidence.
They're going seven-man rotation, maybe 6.5 if Tom Thibodeau gets sick of Deuce and benches him after 4 or 5 minutes. Let's go to Evan in Carmel, New York. How you doing, Evan?
Hey, guys. So, listen, there's only two ways that this really scares me with Mitchell Robinson. One way is if we're talking like away from matchup to matchup with another center.
Yep.
And like Boston's, you know, driving to the hole and whatever. And the other way is if we play Minnesota in the finals. But I'm not that concerned about it, considering that we still had a great stretch of games without him.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? So it's really just those head-to-head matchups that I don't really see a head-to-head matchup other than Minnesota. And Porzingis isn't really like a paint guy from what I've seen. Always seen him at...
No, he wants to be around the perimeter.
You know? No, I think you're better off with Precious on KP anyway, if Porzingis is back, which we'll see. They got a good report the other day that it's not as bad as they thought. We'll see. Look, here's the one thing I do know. The one thing I do know is if the Knicks win this series, and I do think they will win this series, you know what's standing in your way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You already know what's going to be standing there waiting, probably well-rested.
And they are toying with Cleveland.
Oh, they are. And you know who the best player on the floor is yet again last night for the Boston Celtics?
Derek White.
Say his name, bitches. Derek White. That's unbelievable.
Wait, where did I hear that name before?
Derek White?
Yeah, why is that familiar to me?
Because I brought him up a lot yesterday.
When I did my Cinco de Fivo, Evan was proclaiming he's the best player in the NBA, essentially. He's been unbelievable. He's on a crazy heater, no doubt.
You know, what our last caller did was something that I have not heard yet.
You didn't say this, by the way.
I didn't say what exactly?
The teams that might be in the NBA final.
Excuse me?
The teams that might be. You said OKC, Denver, Minnesota is for real.
Oh, no doubt. In fact,
they're giants in the paint.
In fact, that's what I was about to compliment our last caller for. He is the first person I've heard. First person. And I listen to the station a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't listen to every minute, but I listen a lot to the morning guys, midday guys, Big Mac, Keith. I listen a lot. I think this is the first time I heard a caller matter-of-factly talk about a potential NBA Finals matchup. I don't think that's happened yet. I don't think it's happened.
Oh, interesting.
I think we've all stayed away from it. It's always been about, can they beat Boston? Yeah. Can they do Boston? This is the first time in a serious tone, and I'm not mocking him, the guy said, hey, look, you know, thinking about matchups, Mitchell, the T-Wolves may give us issues.
Well, I think it's because of the expectation. Like, where is the expectation? It's to advance from a year ago. We know it derailed last year. And getting to the Eastern Conference Finals is most people's goal.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and look, let's give Jalen Brunson and the Knicks credit. When they played the Boston Celtics at the end, again, Boston didn't need to do anything, but they tried. They destroyed them.
Yeah.
And so in your mind, you're up 2-0 on Indiana. You're saying, oh, man, we got Boston? We got Boston. Now you can start thinking in some convoluted way, we could go to the NBA Finals. Now is when you start doing it.
You're right.
I mean, if it was 1-1, you probably that call doesn't come feel the same.
You're right. That's why when we come back, Lugie will answer the question on everybody's mind. Who does he want to face in the NBA Finals? 877-337-6666, the toll-free number. We'll get to that, plus more of your calls from Giddy Ranger fans and anticipating Knick fans as we are now about 3.5 hours away from Madison Square Garden rocking for a fourth consecutive night.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Self high five. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan on this busy Wednesday. The finale at the Garden tonight of this epic streak we've been on of four consecutive playoff nights at Madison Square Garden so far. Victory for the Rangers, victory for the Knicks, victory for the Rangers. And we'll see what the Knicks do tonight. Last night, the Oklahoma City Thunder continued their incredible stretch to start the postseason. We know what Minnesota's already accomplished. We have some new looks out in the Western Conference. And I know that it's made Lugie's mind wonder as a guy who thinks that they can win an NBA title. And I remember saying to my wife a couple years ago, I said to her, honey, if the Nets are in the NBA Finals, we're going. Mm-hmm. Like, we are going. So what city did you want to go to? And I'd always tell her about the cities that were remaining. And some may argue that I touched the money. I don't think I was ever touching the money. I was just preparing my wife for the fact that we were going to travel if the Nets got to the NBA Finals. They did not, as you know. I think we have to start doing the same thing. because we as a show have already proven we will travel. We went to Game 6 between the Knicks and Sixers. We will not be traveling in this round, but we were already putting plans together for potential travel in an Eastern Conference Finals in Boston. And because the NBA Finals involves more advanced travel, we got to start thinking about it. We got to start, you know, thinking about where we want to go. Do we want to go to Oklahoma City? Do we want to go to Minneapolis, Minnesota? I wouldn't rule Denver out quite yet. Do we want to go to Denver, or do we want to go to Dallas, Texas? And by the way, the Dallas Stars are still surviving, so it's possible we could get a double Dallas trip, just like a double Boston trip. So, Loogie, as a Knick fan, not only from a matchup standpoint, obviously that matters big time, but also from a, hey, that would be fun to go to standpoint, where do you want to go?
So this is actually really easy for me because the location and the team I want to play, it's the same one.
Really?
Dallas. Mm-hmm. Number one, well, let's go with the partying perspective first. Fort Worth, Dallas, be a great time.
Isn't
great
Denver
city.
Better?
Denver?
Yeah. Have you ever hung out in Denver?
What am I going, skiing with my wife? No, I want to go party.
It'll be nice.
I don't care about that. As our boss Ryan Harley points out to me, I want to go hang out after the game. And Dallas, to me, is the best spot.
Yeah, but Dallas is it's a weird city.
Fort Worth, though, is close by. I heard it's fun.
Yes.
So you want to go to Dallas, so you get to leave it to go to Fort Worth?
Right.
Yeah, I'll take a quick Uber. It's like 20 minutes. And then as far as...
That's not close.
It's pretty close.
20 minutes on a straight highway? The problem with that is flat, and like you can see the next city, and it's 30 minutes away, and it's like, oh, yeah, we're close.
You're not a Dallas fan?
No.
I don't mean Dallas, you know, Dallas. But
I don't
like the city.
It's too hot.
Too hot, yeah.
I mean, I went to Austin. It was great. Sorry.
Yeah, I've been to Dallas.
Austin is amazing.
But then when I go to Austin.
I know. But he keeps bringing up everything other than Dallas.
But it's in Texas, so we could hit up all the cities.
No, I get it from a matchup standpoint.
How about Houston? You just take a little plane.
We're not playing Houston. Maybe not yet.
No, I'm just saying. He's talking about every city in Texas except for Dallas.
I know why he wants Dallas, even though he didn't admit it.
What's
it? I know why he wants Dallas. It's not because you think they're the softer team. It's not because you want to go to Dallas. It's because you want to beat Kyrie Irving. That's what it's about. Mm. You want Kyrie Irving in the NBA Finals.
I want every piece of Kyrie Irving, the coalition. And also, too, and I think he's one of the top players in the league, but I'm sorry, Lazy Luka, give me every piece of him. His body language stinks.
Well, last night was ugly, man.
It was embarrassing watching him.
That was the worst I've seen from Luka.
Attempt to play basketball. He was pouting. He looked like he didn't care. He didn't want to play. To me, he's out of shape. He doesn't have that dog in him.
How can he be out of shape?
He looks out of shape.
I know, but it's at the end of the season. My question is how?
Luka, there's a double standard in sports. Are we well aware of this, that there's a double standard? And there's many double standards for a variety of reasons. Can I give you another double standard?
Tell me.
I believe that there are certain NBA players that are just not talked about in the same vicious tone that other NBA players
are. So the negativity doesn't apply.
Correct. Fat. Yeah. And maybe I would phrase it as not yet, because there could be a point where Luka faces the criticism that other NBA stars face, but he don't face it. And meanwhile, when you look at his resume, great player, he's won zilch.
I don't think he has what it takes inside. I don't. I think he's a great, great player. Unbelievable. I don't think he has what it takes to win.
You think he lacks the fire?
Yes, exactly.
I can see that.
Bro,
because he plays kind of laissez-faire.
Last night, he basically gave the ball to Kyrie and said, you know what, you figure it out.
Yeah, he looked very disinterested last night. And I think that if other NBA, and I'm not even, it's individually on who, but there are other NBA players that would just be crucified. And I do have a theory on why. Would you like to hear my theory?
Tell me.
It's a theory based on Americans versus non-Americans. I really do. I think Giannis gets the same treatment. I think that Joker gets the same treatment.
Oh, but you mean because he's non-American, don't care as much?
I don't know. I can't even tell you the reason on it. Like, is it caring? I don't know what it is. But it feels like the American basketball player, maybe it's because we look at them as, oh, that's ours. Our guy. Hmm. We will go and just bloody them, like destroy them. And the foreign player, for whatever reason, gets a free pass from the national media.
An accommodating country?
You think that's what it is?
I don't know. They're afraid to have the ire of wherever these guys are from.
I have to be honest with you. I thought for a while it was a racial thing. I thought it was a white-black thing. You know why I don't think it's that?
Because of Luka.
Because of Giannis.
Oh, because of Giannis.
Because of Giannis. Giannis gets such a free pass.
Right.
So I think it's not, because I've always tried to figure this out. So I don't think it's racial. I think it's non-American. That's my conclusion on why.
Luka.
Yeah.
Giannis.
Yeah.
Who else could you...
Joker doesn't do anything that's worthy of it, so I kind of want to leave him out because, like, the guy just won an NBA title. So
and
it's like, well,
back-to-back MVPs, he's going to be right.
He's a great player.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
But he didn't win an NBA title until last year. Yeah. What about long before that?
Yeah, but he also won an NBA title and was like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah, that kind of annoyed me.
It was weird to me, and it did annoy me. It made me not kind of like him. You know what I mean? As a player.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's a great person. I'm not the one I'm talking about, but
I don't dislike him.
You just won a championship and you're hardly celebrating?
Yeah.
Like, hey, why do we got to have a parade?
You know what? That is a double center because if any other American NBA player did that after winning a championship.
All right, so he is included. So he definitely is included.
He is included. No, I think it's a foreign versus American bias that occurs in the media. That's my theory. You like that theory?
I do like
that theory. You buy that theory?
And it's so far holding up for the names that we can think about.
Can we kill Luka a little bit? Can we rip him a little bit? Is that possible?
Well, let's just say this. If he was a Knick and he was playing in this town at his skill level and he put on the performance that he put on last night, he didn't even get the 20 points. His body language was ridiculous. Mm. He's not in shape. He's lazy. He looked like he didn't care. And he's given the ball to Kyrie Irving and basically said, good luck with it. I don't care. He looked disinterested. I saw a team in the Thunder that are hungry. Might even say they have dogs.
What about Tyrese Halliburton?
What about him?
And he's hurt.
He's not a superstar.
And he's not a superstar.
And he's hurt. He's not a superstar.
He's just not on that same level. But
He's not there.
Not yet. To further your point, if Dallas loses this series, and spoiler alert, they will, you know who's going to be blamed? Kyrie Irving.
Oh, without a doubt, he's a scapegoat.
Because 100%. Kyrie Irving, and I don't love Kyrie Irving, and trust me, he brings a lot of pin upon himself, but Kyrie Irving will be the guy who's the reason. Mm. And Luka.
Not Luka.
Fun little Luka. Actually, fun chunky Luka. It'll be like, oh, he's so great. They got to get him more help. It's so not fair. Luka. So I do think there's sort of a bias. Now, to answer the question, the city of Dallas sucks. So I don't want to go there. The place I want to go, the place that will be fun, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'll tell you why. There's no time of year I'd want to go to Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's always cold. It's always just freezing. But we're talking middle of June. That's like the time to visit it.
You know what, Evan? I've started to notice a couple of clues here that you've been dropping over the last couple of weeks. You think the Knicks are going to the finals. Mm. And you believe Minnesota's the best team to beat them. Because you were pumping up Ant-Man, who I love. Great personality. One of the best players in the league. And now here this comes up again. He goes, I want to go to Minnesota because it's great. And we can go ice fishing. You think the Knicks are going to the finals?
Ice fishing?
Don't they do that in Minnesota?
Yes,
there's no summer in Minnesota.
Not when it's 65 degrees outside. When it's like negative 10, they do.
Excuse me. It's only going to be 65. It's late June.
Right? That place sucks.
It does not get warm. I don't know what it is, but it doesn't get warm like it gets southern.
I thought that Loogie's conclusion he was going to come to is that Evan wants to see Target Field.
Oh, my God. That's right. We got to go see a freaking baseball game, too. Minnesota and Kansas City.
Wait, is that why?
I'm a loser.
No, it's literally because I would never want to go to Minneapolis, Minnesota unless it's warm out. Like, who wants to go there when it's 10 below? So it would be a nice time to visit. And yeah, I think he's kind of right. Like, I think in life you have to take out insurance policies.
75
to
today, 66, 70, 72.
Yeah.
Then it gets 80 on Sunday.
It's in the 70s. Let me give you an example, Loogie, that I think you'd understand because you taught me, Dad. Loogie taught me something. I don't know if you know this. He taught me a very important lesson.
Which is?
I think it was 2 years ago during the early rounds of the MLB postseason, his rooting interest in every single round was dictated by one thing.
Which one?
I'm talking National League playoffs. Uh-huh. I'm talking American League playoffs. Everything came down to the same reason for why he was rooting for a team. You want to tell Tiki what that reason was?
The team that I thought...
You want me to tell you?
Yeah, the team that I thought had the best shot of beating the Yankees.
Correct. So we would be sitting there in the first round of the playoffs. The Phillies are playing the Braves. And as a Met fan, I'm debating who I would root for. And Loogie's like, I'm rooting for the team who I think has the best chance to stop the Yankees, and it's the Braves. And I'm like, but the Yankees are why are we thinking about the Yankees right now? It's the divisional series. And he's like, you can never stop thinking about them. You can't take your eye off the ball. So I think that's a great point, Loogie. I think you're right. I think a part of my keen interest in the Minnesota Timberwolves is that maybe I do look at them as the final boss, as the final...
Well, you've given up on the Eastern Conference opponents?
No, absolutely not. I haven't given up on this series.
Okay.
I certainly haven't given up on Boston, but you have to always think ahead, and you always have to be prepared. So when I sit there last night watching the Western Conference playoffs, and I'm not gambling on it, full disclosure, I'm just watching there as an IBO,
mm-hmm.
I end up always rooting for somebody. So it's, well, why are you rooting for that somebody? And the somebodies I tend to root for are the ones that could stop the Knicks just in case, break glass in case of emergency. And so I think the emergence of Ant-Man, and he is spectacular and still underrated, I think that they are the final boss.
And, you know, this conversation started with Evan saying he hasn't heard a lot of Knicks fans on the station, whether it be hosts or callers, talk about the NBA Finals because we're just talking about the Celtics. And I think another big part of that is because the Celtics have been a wagon. They've been the best team in the league. Mm-hmm. And similar, and I'll, you know, cross sports here, the Jets this year, you're going to be talking about the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. You're not going to be talking about the Niners and the Lions because, to your point, the final boss feels like the Celtics now. That doesn't mean when you get to the finals it's over, because there's a lot of people that thought the Mets would beat the Royals and that didn't happen. But the Celtics have felt like boss.
No doubt. The Celtics are the team to beat.
Yes.
And I have felt all season long that this is their year where Jason Tatum kind of conquers the demons. Look, in fairness, a part of why I think the Rangers are going to win the Stanley Cup. I mentioned this to Beningo because I should announce that Tiki's off on Friday. I think you've got, what are you doing Friday?
I have a golf event.
A big golf event. Big work golf event. This is a mover and shaker right here at Tiki mm-hmm. Barber. So Joe Beningo is filling in. So we look
My
forward to that.
Penis nice. Look bigger.
Is he going to have to do that read on air? I should print it out just to make him do it, Loogie.
I think you should just play the drop randomly while he's just sitting here. Like Joe's like, let me tell you this about the Rangers. And then boom, you just
Joe's
hit him
gonna
with
be
that.
Like, wait,
There's
I said
no
that?
Guy out there that
Did I say that?
Wants
that
his me? Penis to look bigger.
Was that me? I didn't say that.
Where did that come from? But I was even saying this to Joe, and I've said this on the air. Part of why I think the Rangers are going to win the Stanley Cup is sometimes for a championship team, you have to have that humbling defeat.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take the humbling defeat, you learn from it, and you go further. The Islanders right before their dynasty, the Rangers right before they won the Cup in 94, the San Antonio Spurs losing to the Miami Heat as brutally as they did in the finals. They come back, revenge tour, they win it. So it comes on all different levels. And I think the Rangers had that last year. You know, I really do. I think that losing to New Jersey the way they did was that humbling experience, especially after a year earlier. I think the Celtics, between blowing the NBA Finals 2 years ago, between losing to a team they shouldn't have lost to in Miami, and almost coming back from 3-0 down, which they should have, mm-hmm. they should have done it, I almost think that this is their year, that this is those humbling experiences from this core, even though they changed a little bit with the Marcus Smart and the KP stuff, it's still Tatum, it's still Jaylen, that this was their experience and this is the year they win. It's why all year I've thought the Celtics are going to win the NBA title. So I do ultimately agree that they are the final boss, but sometimes you beat the final boss and then there's someone else to beat, like Team USA in the 80 Olympics. They didn't beat the Soviets to win the gold medal. They had to beat the Soviets, then they had to win again. Who'd they play? Sweden, Norway, something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. Zimbabwe. I don't
so
know.
This is why you have. This is why you're on the Rangers. This is your reasoning to be on the Rangers.
Yeah, I've got real reasons, yeah. It's not just trolling. I legitimately think that sometimes you need that as a team. As far as the Knicks are concerned, look, they got a round right in front of them. And I do think that Indiana is going to scare you a little bit like they did in game one. They gave you a little scare, down 9. You were a little scared. You got to admit you were a little scared, Luke. Just a little bit.
Scared in game one? Absolutely not.
Down 9?
When I've been watching.
Because it's home?
Yeah.
Home, and you've seen it before.
Yeah, I think that Indiana's inexperience to me will cost them in these games. And when I watch the Rangers and when I watch the Knicks, I am fully confident every single time these guys take the court or the ice that they're going to win.
Interesting. You think we're going to have a dual final Stanley Cup again?
I think we're getting New York, Boston, and both. Number one, and then I think we're getting the finals again. And I don't want to be the bad guy here, but I'm about to be.
Go ahead.
I don't want to hear about 1994 anymore. This is coming from a Knicks fan.
You can't avoid that, bro. As much as I bang the drum about stop talking about the 90s with the Knicks, the 94 comparison can't just go away, dude.
Why?
Because.
But wait a second, Evan. You know what? Yeah,
you
why?
To go
what
away?
Does 1994 have to do with anything that's going on right now?
Because
OJ died. Big deal. Nothing against OJ. But I mean, like, why does it have to be about 1994? How about 2024?
I tell you why. Can I tell you why?
Yes.
Because we have had nothing in terms of the Rangers and Knicks, because the Islanders and Nets did go on a pretty good run a couple years ago. But Devils and Nets, too, in 2003, but whatever. We haven't had a Ranger-Knick run even close. Like, even close to this. So
that's a good point.
You can't just ignore that.
But you don't have to bang the drum.
The parallels just seem so right.
Yeah, so what, though? I mean, I just don't understand. Like, why does that matter, though? That's all my only thing. That it really, we talk about
it
jinxes.
Doesn't matter.
So parallels don't exist either.
No.
No, you can't say there's no jinxes, Teague, and then they say that it's meant to be. Then that's not fair.
I don't think they're jinxes. I don't believe in superstition either.
Oh, really?
But the parallel is interesting.
Before we continue this 94 discussion, yeah. I'd like to put that to the test.
Go ahead.
I'd like to put Tiki on the jinx test.
All right.
Connor, who's doing a great job, by the way, can you pull up the audio of jinx event number one from last night, courtesy of MLB Network? You have that ready to go? All right, let me set this up for you.
Right.
I know, much to your chagrin, but Yoshinobu Yamamoto has bounced back big time.
Good for him.
For the Los Angeles Dodgers. He's pitched very, very well. And so last night, Yoshinobu Yamamoto was on the mound against the Miami Marlins. And by the way, he won, and so did the Dodgers. Yamamoto now has a 2.79 ERA. Mm. So he's been great. So as the game is about to start, Greg Amsinger decides to put the jinx to the test. The game has not started, and MLB Network is about to do a live look-in of Dodgers-Marlins. And Greg Amsinger does this!
Don't take this the wrong way, but we are already a no-hitter alert. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, before he throws a single pitch shot against the Marlins, we have a no-hitter alert.
Okay.
Enjoy what could be a no-hitter from Yamamoto.
What?
You know Jazz when your first pitch.
Right here on MLB Network for Herald. You see why I'm Greg. We have a no-hitter alert. Enjoy this game live on MLB Network.
Enjoy. Great.
It's in the major leagues.
Let's go.
To establish himself as that
first
guy.
Pitch of the game.
So there's no break.
Dodgers
here.
Looking for a sixth straight win. And straight a 13th up. Out of here their last 15 after they took the first game 6-3 last night. Yamamoto comes home and off we go. And the aggressive Marlins get a first pitch swing and a high fly ball and a home run for Jazz Chisholm on the first pitch.
Oh, Jazz.
All right. So Jazz Chisholm, it's funny how he always comes back to us talking about him.
I know.
Jazz Chisholm is like New York sports talk radio gold.
He's got a little Nicholas Castellanos in him that he finds his way
there.
On.
He always finds his way back.
So wow, Jazz Chisholm swings at the first pitch, and Yoshinobu Yamamoto's no-hitter last zero pitches after Greg Amsinger does this. Is that a jinx?
No, because the game hadn't even started, and you can't jinx something that's not happened yet. It's not even in anyone's mind. There was one person whose mind that was in, and that was Amsinger's. What is that? Amsinger.
Greg Amsinger, yes.
Right. It was in Amsinger's mind. That was it. Nobody else is thinking that. It's not like a collective ballpark or 300,000 viewers at home are watching saying, oh, man, he's about to have a no-hitter. Don't say it! Like, there's one person. Amsinger said it.
So not a jinx.
Not a jinx.
Interesting.
Can I play conspiracy theorist here?
Go ahead.
They already knew that happened. Listen to the audio. Oh, he's probably going to swing at the first pitch.
No.
Oh, so on the nose.
You think it was set up?
Could have been.
I don't think so.
They said it in the thing. No hitter alert. Like,
no,
it was so on the nose.
No,
and then the other guy goes, Harold goes, watch him swing at the first pitch.
Because Harold Reynolds is like, you jinxed it. Watch. It's going to end quickly. Like, look, the odds are Yamamoto gets up and hit in the third inning, right?
I don't believe in conspiracy theories either, but that one's pretty interesting.
Evan, they don't saw the woman in half, the magician. Yeah. I don't want to tell you how the sausage just made, but it's a possibility on a tape delay. They already knew it was coming. They'd be, this is a funny little thing we could do.
It's not the same, but I'll never forget in 2015, before the Mets traded for Juan Uribe, Kelly Johnson, and Yoenis Cespedes, they had like no offense, right? And they had John Mayberry hitting cleanup. It was like really, really bad. And it was, I would say, early July. The Mets are playing the Dodgers. You can look up the game. It was in 2015, regular season at Citi Field, and Clayton Kershaw was on the mound. And every Met fan was like talking about, boy, this lineup is pathetic. This sucks. This is the only time this ever happened to you, I swear to God.
Okay.
We sat down in 318, and the buzz around the stadium before the first pitch was Clayton Kershaw's going to pitch a no-hitter. He's just going to. He's the best pitcher in baseball, and the Mets have the worst lineup ever. You can look this up to confirm it. He took a no-hitter in like the sixth or seventh inning. And I remember the whole time, being like, is this really good?
Right. So now
we literally have talked about it before the first
by the way,
pitch.
That feels like if you then talked about it, it'd be a jinx. But before the first pitch, you're talking about it. It doesn't make any sense.
Before the first pitch? That's what we were doing game?
No. I mean, jinxing.
Yeah.
That wasn't a jinx because he took it to six innings.
You're right. It turned out not to be
a
prophetic. Jinx.
It was prophetic.
It was prophetic. Yeah.
Right.
It was more that the Mets suck.
Yeah.
Or sucked.
And,
prophecy, you can kind of believe it.
Yeah.
Now, Tiki, you've said you don't believe in jinxes, but you do believe, you don't believe in coincidences either. You do not believe in coincidences.
I do not believe in coincidences.
He swung at the first pitch.
I just looked at it. I can't find that the delay, the TV was delayed, that the TV coverage was delayed. I can't find it.
Yeah, because it's not true. It's just
not.
Greg Amsinger showed some guts or
but
stupidity.
It just sounds like something that MLB would do.
We have a no-hitter alert.
Because they have fun.
Like on the first
That's
pitch.
Like all their shows are all fun. And then Harold Runner's just like, hey, man, he's going to swing on the first pitch. What are you talking about? It's almost like they just acted it out. It was a work.
Yeah.
And you got worked.
No. Don't pull the surprise for me. It's like people who think me and Spike were a work. Come on. That was completely real. Let's go to Eli in Waterbury, Connecticut. What's up, Eli?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing? I have a little personal problem when it comes to the NBA, especially the Knicks. When the Knicks lost the final to the Spurs,
yeah,
I was so heartbroken. I hopped ship to the Timberwolves.
What?
Okay.
Why?
And then when the Timberwolves started doing good, and they went to a game 7 with the Lakers,
yeah.
I'll never forget it. And they lost. The next year, I said, I'm going to root for the Timberwolves for the rest of my life.
Well, what a decision.
Well, I always rooted for the Knicks. You know, you call me bandwagon, call me what you want. And so this year, you know, you say you had no one making a prediction. I'm going to make the first prediction that you guys got. So okay. I believe it's going to be the Knicks, Timberwolves, and it's going to end in 5.
Okay. And who's going to win? The Knicks?
The Knicks. The Knicks, and you're going to come back and be a Knicks fan.
I got to see that one. I can't say.
Well, can you know I ask what? You? Forget your prediction. I got to go back to this. So the Knicks make this miraculous run to the NBA Finals. I remember it. It killed me. I hated it so much. And you decided after losing to the San Antonio Spurs, why? Did you like KG or something? Like, what made you say I'm going to become a Timberwolves fan?
Well, you know, I was a fan of Latrell Sprewell. I was a fan of Wally Szczerbiak, and especially KG.
Ah, yeah, that's true. Now, was there, yeah.
Now, those guys, you know, I liked, you know, and so, I don't know, I'm going to have to say.
How old were you when you made that move? Hold on, how old were you when you made that move? That's very important.
I had to be like 11, 12.
You were 11 years old in 1999, yeah. And you said to yourself, I'm done with the team that just lost in the finals, and I'm going to go root
but
for
you know what? An 11-year-old would do that.
Are you an idiot?
An 11-year-old would do that.
No, but an 11-year-old would say, I'll start rooting for the Spurs, right? Like, wouldn't you just pick the team that beat you?
You probably hated that team.
So you picked this random Western. I guess it's not random because he had the connection. Yeah. He liked Kevin Garnett. Right. Trell ended up going there.
And so
okay.
It became who's my favorite player.
Yeah.
I'm going to root for the team that has my favorite player.
I can't even imagine the Timberwolves in the NBA Finals. I have to admit that. Like, now, I also admit, I couldn't have imagined the Denver Nuggets in the NBA Finals. Meanwhile, they did it. They won a championship. So we really are on a new day in the NBA. Well, I mean, think about that.
Yeah. It's different with Denver because Jokic.
Well, I mean, Anthony Edwards. I could say the same thing. They've got a young superstar themselves. It's crazy. We'll come back with more of your calls. We got a Cinco de Fava with Lugan. We'll get you all ready to go for tonight. The New York Knicks, the Indiana Pacers, game 2. And I will tell you why history is 1,000% on the Knicks' side going into tonight. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. Oh, oh.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.